All right, as I get into this, I want to read 1 Corinthians 7. We covered this chapter a couple weeks ago, but we're back in 1 Corinthians 7 again this week with a different emphasis. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, the emphasis was on marriage. This week it's on singleness, which is very interesting. Singleness, there's like 37% of adults are single. Well, I read singles now outnumber married couples. Isn't that interesting? In our world today, there's more single people than married people. Interesting. Let me read this. I've never done this before. I'm going to read the passage to you in the Message. That's a paraphrase of the Bible. But as I read it in the Message, it really popped. It really came alive. So let me read this here. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Now, getting down to the question you asked in your letter to me, sometimes I wish everyone were single like me. A simpler life in many ways. But celibacy is not for everyone any more than marriage is. God gives the gift of single life to some, the gift of married life to others. I do, though, tell the unmarried and the widows that singleness might well be the best thing for them, as it has been for me. This is Paul saying this. Verse 9, but if they can't manage their desires and emotions, they should by all means go ahead and get married. The difficulties of marriage are preferable by far to a sexually tortured life as a single. In verse 17, he says, and don't be wishing that you were someplace else with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. God, not your marital status, defines your life. Don't think that I'm being harder on you than others. I give the same counsel to all churches. In verse 22, he says, I'm simply trying to point out that under your new master, you're going to experience a marvelous freedom you would never have dreamed of. On the other hand, if you were free when Christ called you, you'll experience a delightful enslavement to God you would never have dreamed of. Friends, stay where you were called to be. God is there. Hold the high ground with him at your side. The master did not give explicit directions regarding virgins, young ladies, but as one experienced in the mercy of the master and loyal to him all the way, you can trust my counsel. But there's certainly no sin in getting married. Whether you're a virgin or not, all I'm saying is that when you marry, you take an additional stress in an already stressful time. And I want to spare you that if possible. I do want to point out, friends, that time is of the essence. There is no time to waste. So don't complicate your lives unnecessarily. Keep it simple in marriage, in grief, joy, whatever. Even in ordinary things, your daily routine of shopping and so on, deal as sparingly as possible with the things of the world that the world thrusts on you. The world, as you see it, is on its way out. In verse 32, he says, I want you to live as free of complication as possible. When you're unmarried, you're free to concentrate on simply pleasing the master. Marriage involves you in all the nuts and bolts of domestic life and wanting to please your spouse, leading to so many more demands on your attention. The time and energy that married people spend on caring for and nurturing each other, the unmarried can spend in becoming whole and holy instruments of God. I'm trying to be helpful and make it as easy as possible for you, not making things harder. All I want is for you to be able to develop a way of life in which you can spend plenty of time together with the master without lots of distractions. If a man has a woman friend to whom he is loyal but never intends to marry, having decided to serve God as a single, and then changes his mind, deciding he should marry her, then he should go ahead and marry. It's no sin. It's not even a step down from celibacy, as some say. But on the other hand, if a man is comfortable in the decision for being a single life in service to God, and it's entirely his own conviction and not imposed on him by others, he ought to stick with it. Marriage is spiritually and morally right and not inferior to singleness in any way. Although, as I indicated earlier, because of the time we live in, I do have pastoral reasons for encouraging singleness. Huh. So there it is. That's the message. I got to get this in the light. I can't see it. So the Bible has a lot to say about singleness, which is very interesting because we live in a culture that the church culture wants to encourage marriage. You got people who think their spiritual gift is matchmaking, you know, so shoving everybody, you know, you got to get married, If you don't get married, there's something weird about you. So this is very important because I think we just go into this with just a thought that most people in the church are married, but that's not true. Young people, single. Some people, we all start in this world as single. And some of us is a temporary thing. Some of us, it's a forever thing. Some of us will be single again someday for various reasons. And in our church, I didn't take an inventory of this, but in our church, it might be 50-50 how many people are single and how many people are married. And yet, typically in the church, you have a lot of sermons that are geared towards marriage and geared towards parenting and geared towards families. How many sermons have you heard on singleness? So a lot of people are probably feeling kind of left out. And then you see this, like the Sunday school class for pears and spares. Who wants to be a spare? I mean, so I can see where singles feel left out at church. And why a lot of single people might not feel like they belong in church and there's no place for them in church. And Paul's message is that is not true. That is not true. So first of all, he says being single is good. And he says this four times in this passage in verse 1. Now, for matters you wrote about, it's good for a man not to marry. We covered that. Verse 8 says, now to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it's good for them to stay unmarried as I am. And we established that Paul was unmarried. I think he had been married before. And now he's not married. And he says it's good to not be married. That's Paul's message here. In verse 26, because of the present crisis, I think it's good for you to remain as you are, which would be single. He's talking to the people who are single. In verse 35, he says, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way, in undivided devotion to the Lord. So four times, it's good, it's good, it's good. Singleness is not inferior to marriage. That's what we need. We need to see this. We need to understand that in biblical Christianity, there's a high view of both marriage and singleness. So if that's what the Bible says, is that how you think? Does your thinking need to be challenged here? If you are married and you feel sorry for all the single people, that's why. When Paul says this is good, this is good. So singleness is not inferior to marriage. Marriage is not superior to being single. Marriage is just a temporary state that God gives some people to fulfill his purposes. And let me think. Think of some famous single people that, anybody come to mind when you think of people who have been single pretty much their whole life? We got Helen Keller. She never married. Amy Carmichael, never married. Florence Nightingale, never married. Henrietta Mears, never married. Corrie ten Boom, never married. C.S. Lewis was single until he was 58 years old. And then in the Bible, I don't know if this is accurate. I read this. Mary, the sister of Lazarus, single. Martha, single. Lazarus, single. I don't know that, but there's no mention of a spouse. Jeremiah, single. Ezekiel, single. Nehemiah, single. John the Baptist, single. Paul, single. Jesus Christ was single. And yet we're telling everybody they need to get married. They need to get married. We got to fix them. So Paul says it's good to be single. And the other thing he says, being single is a gift. What does he say? I wish that all men were as I am, but each has their own gifts. So he's saying, for me, it's a gift to be single. He says one has this gift, another has that gift. And that word gift is the same word gift as in 1 Corinthians 12 when you start talking about the spiritual gifts. And we'll get there several weeks from now, 1 Corinthians 12, the spiritual gifts. This is a gift. Being single is a gift. And when you think, it's the same word. And when you think about 1 Corinthians 12, the context of that God gives a wide variety of gifts. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. So there's a variety of gifts. Singleness is a gift. Marriage is a gift. And the reason he gives these gifts is to grow his church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So for some, being married is a gift. For others, being single is a gift. But both of them are gifts from God. And it all comes down to recognizing and receiving the situation that you're in as a calling from God for the present time that you're in. Where I'm at now in life, I will use that to the best of my ability to glorify God. You may have the gift of singleness for your entire life. You might have it for just a short time. But right now, God has presented you with a present for this present time. Your singleness may be a waiting season. But it doesn't have to be a wasted season. Don't waste this time crying and moaning because it's not what you want right now. Use this, understand that God is sovereign, God is in control, and God can use you right where you are. As long as you are single, you have this gift from God. If you get married, that will be a gift to you as well. He says in verse 25, "Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think it's good for you to remain as you are." Now notice here are a couple things. He's saying this is not a command from Jesus Christ. Jesus never said, "Thou shalt be single." It's not a command. He says, "I give you my judgment." Paul's saying, this is my opinion. As a man who is walking with the Spirit, who's led by the Spirit, I'm giving you my opinion. He says, it's not a sin if you get married. Where he says it's not a command from Jesus, let me take you to Matthew 19 real quick. Matthew 19, where they're talking about divorce. And Jesus being challenged on divorce, and Jesus said Moses permitted you to get divorced, to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery. And the disciples said to him, if this is a situation between a husband and wife, then it's better not to marry. That's what the disciples said. After this long discourse, the disciples said, then why get married? And get what Jesus says here. Jesus says, not everyone can accept this, but only those to whom it has been given. For some are eunuchs because they were born that way. Others were made that way by men. And others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it. Those are the words of Jesus. I've never preached a sermon on that before. I think I'm scared to preach a sermon on it. But it ties into what Paul is saying. It ties very well into what Paul is saying. The one who can accept this should accept this. Consider singleness is an option. And why? Why is it an option? Why does he say, he says, because of this present crisis, I think it's good for you to remain as you are. Because of this present crisis. So the first reason, there's a crisis going on. Because of this present crisis. And then the question is, what is this crisis? And is this crisis, I mean, that was 2,000 years ago. Are we still living under the same crisis? Or are we living under different crises? The crisis back then, I would tell you, within 10 years after Paul wrote this, Nero, the Roman emperor, falsely blamed Christians for setting the capital on fire. And as a result, Nero slaughtered Christians of all ages. And the persecution spilled over into Rome's city limits to the rest of the empire. It was a dangerous and horrific time to be a Christian. This is what Fox's Book of Martyrs said. It says, they were punished with stripes and scourgings and stonings, plates of iron laid unto them burning hot, deep dungeons, racks, stranglings in prison, the teeth of wild beasts, gridirons, gibbets, and gallows, tossing upon the horns of bulls. Moreover, they were thus killed. Their bodies were laid in heaps, and dogs there left to keep them, and no man might come to bury them. Now, try to paint a little graphic picture right there. And the thought is, can you imagine if you were married and you saw this happening to your spouse, or you saw this happening to your children? Can you imagine how painful that would be? And perhaps that's just one reason why Paul said, this is not the time to get married. There are times when singleness is preferred under certain conditions, certain seasons, for certain purposes. There are seasons when singleness is the best route for those who can remain sexually pure and not get into sin. Now, if you can't remain sexually pure, if you're going to get yourself in trouble, then get married. Marriage is by all means preferable to destroying your life with sexual sin. But if you can remain self-controlled, you might consider staying single. Another reason he gives is to save you from trouble. Verse 28 says, if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. And all the married people said amen. Okay? Maybe. I'm really worried as I preach this sermon, nobody's ever going to want to get married again. That would be bad. Marriage is also a gift, all right? But today the focus is on being single. Paul is single. And as I already said, we believe that Paul was once married because he was in the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee, and that was a requirement. But he's saying, I wish all people were single as I am. Obviously, he's single again. Perhaps his wife has died. Maybe he's a widow. But as I alluded to a couple weeks ago, I believe that when he became a Christian, his wife couldn't handle it, and I think she abandoned him. That's just my own thought. I don't know. But as Paul writes this, I'm thinking he wasn't too hip on marriage. I'm thinking his marriage wasn't all that great. And then I read some stories of like John Wesley and George Whitefield. Do you know these great evangelists from England? Do you know both of them had terrible marriages? Their families said of them that they should never married because of who they were temperamentally. Both of these men had phenomenal impacts on the British Isle. Their ministries had a phenomenal impact, but they had pretty rotten marriages. John Wesley's wife left him late in life and didn't live out her years with him in marriage. And maybe because it's hard being married to a pastor. Shut up, okay? Just I was worried something was going to come out right there. Maybe that, but John Wesley didn't have a good marriage. George Whitefield didn't have a good marriage. I'm thinking Paul didn't have a good marriage. I've met a lot of people in this world who don't have a good marriage. And yet single people, I wish I was married. I wish I had all those troubles. Really? Think about what you're thinking here. Marriage was never intended to be the ultimate goal in life. Marriage cannot solve all our personal, emotional, and spiritual struggles in this life. Marriage is not the magic solution that will make you whole and complete. Jesus is. Our identity is in Jesus, not in our marital status, whether we're married or we're single. We live for Christ. Go back to the message. It said in verse 17, and don't be wishing you were someplace else with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. God, not your marital status, defines your life. God defines your life. You being a Christian is what defines your life. The grass is not greener on the other side. Single people think, oh, if only I was married. And married people are thinking, only if I was single. You know, the grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it, okay? If you're single, water that. If you're married, water that. Paul put marriage in the same category as everything else. It's passing away. Marriage is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Another reason he gives for being single is because time is short. He says in verse 29, what I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none. That's what he says. Time is short. We're in the last days. If we are truly committed to growing the kingdom of God, if we're truly committed to helping the lost find salvation, and I wish this was so true for single people and married people, there should be a sense of urgency to what Christ has called us to do. And yet what Christ has called us to do often seems to be put in the background because we do what we want to do. And if we get around to doing what Christ has called us to do, then we'll do it. But there's no sense of urgency. Another reason why he recommends being single is to free you from concern. It says, I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But the married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. The word concern right there is 5 times in 3 verses. Concern. What are you concerned about? What are you concerned about? And if you are married, there's chances are you're concerned about, you know, the cleaning the house and what's for dinner and got to mow the yard and the cars broke down and then you got taxes and you got all these things and you're in a completely different category than single people and what their concerns are. Men, when you were single, you were able to wear what you want. And you were okay if all the only furniture you had was a Lazy Boy chair and a TV. Life is good, you know? And you're working on your transmission on your kitchen table, no problem. But now you get married and your wife kind of frowns upon that. She doesn't like it when you park your motorcycle in the bedroom, you know? So all of a sudden you got these things you got to deal with. When you get married, everything changes. Biblically, you are called, married men, you are called to please your wife and to provide for your families and to be the spiritual leaders of your home. And you got all these things pulling at you. Married life changes everything. It takes two people with two distinct personalities, with two temperaments and two wills. And it can be very difficult to serve both your spouse and the Lord. And you find your interests are divided. So you're torn. And Paul's saying, if you're single, you don't have that problem. And here's the big thing. Okay, and let me say this. I should have said this earlier. If you have gone through pre-marriage counseling with me, if you're going through pre-marriage counseling with me, one of the assignments is to read 1 Corinthians 7 and justify why you're getting married. And I'm giving you the answer right now. You've got to justify your answer. Why do you want to get married when Paul says it's good to be single? And I think that's there in 1 Corinthians 7. I think the Bible says a lot of things. But the thing that I want everyone in this room to hear, this is not just for single people. This is for married people too. The thing that really strikes me about this whole subject, number 5, to be, he tells us, you know, singleness is good so you can be completely devoted to the Lord. I want, if you're single, be completely devoted to the Lord. If you're married, be as devoted as you can to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 34. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world and how she can please her husband. How many of you ladies, you know, after you got married, you realize that it's not just you and God anymore? You know, now you got this guy that is hungry all the time, and he doesn't clean up after himself, and he needs to be encouraged all the time, all these things. And it takes energy, you know. Here you want to give yourself to God, but you got that guy that you got to take care of, you know. So Paul says, verse 35, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. There's the goal, undivided devotion to the Lord. This is where single people have the advantage over married people. I want to give myself completely to God. But I think as a single person, they can give so much more. John R.W. Stott, he's a famous author, preacher in England. He served as a rector emeritus of All Souls Anglican Church in London. He would spend 4 hours every morning uninterrupted with the Lord and the Word. And was a prolific with his commentaries, his preaching, his teaching, his mentoring, his leading in ministry. I've got several of his books. He lived a very simple and pure life, totally devoted to Jesus with no distractions. He was single all of his life. He was committed to the life of singleness. And he was totally devoted to the Lord. We read about Paul, the freedom that Paul had to travel throughout the Roman Empire. He planted churches. He wrote much of the New Testament because he was single and he had a singular focus. He wanted to grow the family of God. He wanted to grow the kingdom of God. And then Jesus himself gave himself wholeheartedly to his Father's work. He was able to invest himself completely in the discipleship of the 12 men who would go on to turn the world upside down for the glory of God. Jesus lived life to the fullest. He didn't whine and complain because he wasn't married. He wasn't out looking for a spouse. He was just focused on the Lord and living for the Lord. He enjoyed healthy relationships. He had purpose, and he's a great model for every single person to follow. So Paul gives several reasons why singleness is a good thing. And I would encourage... let me go back to the beginning here. Not that I'm going to preach it all again, but I had a note here that I didn't talk about. Church culture is obsessed with marriage. Like, that's the goal. The secular culture is obsessed with singleness. If you're not a Christian, a lot of people who are not Christians and never want to get married, they've given up on marriage. Marriage is like become obsolete to a lot of people. Why get married? But they're doing it with the wrong intentions. They're committed to being single, but they're not committed to being celibate. They're doing it for selfish reasons. They're not doing it because they're devoted to the Lord. And I just say all that, if you're single here, how much is this world influencing you versus how much is the Word of God influencing you? Are you being single so you can be selfish? Are you being single so that you can be devoted to God? That's a real question that I would like you to consider. It concerns me how influenced we are by this world, how we're being pulled at by this world to be something other than what God has called us to be. If you embrace singleness, embrace it for the right reasons, so that you can serve God. And Paul's message here, is this on the back page? I don't know where I'm at. But Paul's message, marriage is always an option. You know, maybe singleness is just for a season. It says in verse 38, so then he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry does even better. That's what he says. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes. But he must belong to the Lord. As long as you're single, you have this gift from God. If you get married, that will be a gift from God as well. But don't settle. Never settle. It says in verse 39, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. Someone who will help you live a life devoted to God. That's what you're looking for. So application here, real quick. If you're single, this is my message to you. Steward your singleness well. Steward your singleness well. Use your freedom for the glory of God. Use this time to grow in your walk with God. I remember when I was a young adult, single, and I didn't like being single. I mean, a lot of single people don't like being single. I didn't want to be single. I was like, you know, why? I want to, anyway. But that was probably the best time of growth in my walk with Christ during that time. I clung to Jesus during those days. And I grew tremendously during those days. Use this time. And use this time to minister to other people. I remember one year I wasn't able to get home for Christmas. I was over in Europe, and I couldn't get home for Christmas. It was too expensive. I couldn't get the time off. And before Christmas Day happened, a married man, he had three kids. He had to work on Christmas Day. And he came to me and asked me to take a shift. I had nothing to do on Christmas Day. I mean, where am I going to go? So I said, sure, I'll do your work. And it was one of the neatest things, one of my best Christmases ever, because I could serve that family. And they were so grateful. That woman made like chocolate cake for me like once a week, you know, because her husband could be home and celebrate Christmas. So it was like I was in a position where I could serve some people and give to people. If you're single and you're in that position, use that to be a blessing to other people. I think you'll be blessed in doing so. So keep yourself pure. Wait upon the Lord. Don't waste this gift. So steward your singleness well. And express gratitude for the gift that God has given you. Don't be bitter. Don't be resentful. Don't be whiny. Value where God currently has placed you and live on mission. Recognize and receive the situation as a calling from a gracious and generous God. Jim Elliot, he said, wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. Wherever you are, be all there. I like that. And third, express appreciation for the gift that God has given to others. Celebrate those who are married. Celebrate those who are single. Stop trying to fix people, okay? There's a big part of my message right there. And so in 1 Corinthians 7, in these verses, marriage is validated and singleness is upheld as advantageous. Marriage is not for everyone. Singleness is not for everyone. So I see to single people, God has called us, called you to chastity and singleness and faithfulness in marriage. Being single is an opportunity to bring glory to God. What does it say? So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. If you're married, do that for the glory of God. If you're single, do that for the glory of God. Barry Danielak, if I'm saying his name right, he wrote a book, Redeeming Singleness. He writes this: Paul envisions those who are above reproach in their sexual conduct, undistracted by a spouse and family, and ready and waiting at the service of their Lord. The capability to remain single is thus to be regarded as a spiritual gift and is characterized by three prominent features. One is a life of simplicity, free from the stresses of a spouse and family, a life that finds sufficiency in Christ alone, and a life ready and free for service to the King in whatever way he should be called. If you are single, embrace it. Don't be restless. Don't be bitter. Don't be desperate. Seek first his kingdom. Serve God with all you've got. And then if it happens that you find that special someone while you are serving God, marry them and enjoy life and serve God together. Run towards Jesus as fast as you can. And if someone keeps up, introduce yourself to them, all right? Then you'll get married at the right time, in the right way, and for the right reason. If you are a Christian, if you are a child of God, God wants to bless you in your singleness and in your marriage. Receive that blessing from God. Embrace that blessing from God and give him all the glory.